Hello, everybody. Peace. Happy New Year. We've had the Capricorn new moon, and now we're into the new year. I'm recording this on January the 12th, the day after the Capricorn new moon. The Capricorn moon has moved into Aquarius, but we're still under the no moon or new moon phase. But the moon has moved into Aquarius, and that's giving us some air. And that is like, oh my God, the ideas flowing, 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 flowing. So, if I have a lot to say, forgive me, but you will want to stay around for this. This has some amazing insights and things to share with along with the charts. Okay, as I talk about the Leo full moon that is coming up on January the 25th, 2024. Not the least of which is that, according to my wonderful She Who Is calendar, She Who Is Art on Etsy, she also does a lot of research into kind of myths and archetypes, and then does the beautiful art with it. She says that the 25th of January is the festival of Terra, Ceres, and Persephone. And I am writing the book on Ceres, although it might be becoming something more than that. And of course, I had to go, who's Terra? Well, Terra in Greco-Roman mythology, before the Olympians or the Titans ruled, there was nothing. Before there was nothing, there was chaos. Chaos was considered the first deity, the primordial god of nothingness from which all things in the universe emerged. In many Greco-Roman myths, the first deity to materialize from the primordial chaos was Terra Mater, or Tellus Mater, the primordial goddess of the earth. It's probably the counterpart of Gaia, all right, but this is pre-Gaia. So while most people refer to Terra Mater as an earth goddess, she's more than that. Terra Mater was a goddess of nature, marriage, fertility, and the earth itself. She was often depicted as a woman half submerged in the earth and often adorned with plants, animals, and a cornucopia, collection of flowers and fruits in the basket. The name Terra Mater is Latin and translates literally into Mother Earth. Well, you know, I have more research to do on that now. There's always something, but more to come on that. But you know, before I even looked at my calendar and saw what was written there, I was like, oh, yes, I was like, this full moon is amazing. So, to kind of just give you an overview before I dive in, this full moon on January the 25th, 2024, is the first lunation of any kind. It's the full moon, first full moon after Pluto has moved into Aquarius. Of course, Pluto is going to dip back into Capricorn briefly towards the end of the year. But on January the 20th, that both the Sun and Pluto move into Aquarius. And there's so much else about that chart. But what else is different about this chart that I could talk about? Or what will have changed by then? Well, Mercury will have gone beyond the shadow of his recent retrograde, so he's flying free. Mars is no longer out of bounds by the time we get to this full moon, because Mars is going back in bounds on January the 23rd, so is starting to act more in his usual way. And I don't think there's anything else major to talk about, but the full moon is 2 days before Uranus, the sky god, the lord of lightning bolts, as Stephen Forrest calls him, stations direct. So there's many, many reasons why this is a powerful, powerful full moon. And I hope to demonstrate why And heads up, big heads up, if you have any planets close to 5 degrees, that would be, a couple of degrees before and a couple of degrees afterwards, probably. I would say, or even a little bit more, but because it is a full moon, you will feel this big time. So, yeah, oh, maybe let's, oh, I'm going to, oh my goodness, I'm actually going to just pull these cards out that jumped out. They want to be spoken to, and I'll talk about what the cards mean in a minute. But yeah, if you have anything from, say, 2, 3 degrees, all the way to 7, 8 degrees around your chart, you will be aspected by this because there's a lot of aspects to it. So anyway, all righty. So, all right, the cards. I pulled them from this Tree Devia deck that you get a 10% discount off with my link in the description if you're interested. I'm still using it and getting to know it. Many ways it's kind of very traditionally Rider-Waite in very many ways, but I love the colors and I love the gold and the beautiful kind of energy of these cards. They're quite beautiful. Now, two cards fell out. You saw me, I was shuffling. These two cards fell out. Oops. They were upright. And you cannot make this up. A full moon is the moon opposite the sun. And I pulled the sun and the moon cards, or they fell out. So I'll let you kind of look at the art for a second. So you can see the moon has the howling at the moon. There's, a lot of watery water lily stuff on the bottom by the looks of things. But also look at those two volcanoes in the background smoking. Okay, so this kind of does speak to what I'm going to speak about. And you can see the sun. Oh, the sun here is just beautiful. All right. Look at this woman riding that horse. And anyway, you can see it. So let me get the card. Let me read what the book says, because every deck of cards I'm finding has its own kind of energy. So what does the creator of the deck have to say about the moon and the sun, which of course are cards 28 and 29 in the major arcana. So let's get to it on the same page, handily enough. So first, the moon. If you experience fear or anxiety, it's a good time to tap into your subconscious mind and find the cause of it. Connect with your divine feminine and be aware that you, just like the moon, go through phases. The old Latin quote says, ex luna scientia, from the moon, knowledge. Let your intuition be your guide. Pay attention to your dreams, and soon you will be free from limiting illusions. So the affirmation for the moon is, the moon has taught me to give light even when incomplete. Now then, the sun. So you are feeling great. Abundance, joy, and positivity are illuminating your world. Life is treating you well, your vibration is high, and you are attracting more wonderful things your way. People are drawn to you because of your warm energy and you share your generosity with them. Enjoy your enthusiasm and vitality that you experience in the present moment and know that things will get better. So the affirmation for this card is, I see magic in everything as I myself am made of stars. But before we move on to the numbers and everything, I want to say, don't forget that the sun, oops, the sun and moon are working together here. So this is intuition And then this is your light, your crown, if you like, your Leo, sunny, kind of dramatic energy. Okay, so, but there's a wriggle, of course, always a wriggle. So I pulled, this is the sun is in Aquarius and the moon is in the sun sign of Leo. So, you know, this is has got a bit of a different flavor because they're each in each other's signs, really. Well, no, the sun is not in Aquarius, is not the moon sign, but the moon is also in mundane astrology, if you like, which is the astrology of events and the people. The moon often represents the people. So that comes into play as well, because Aquarius is the sign of the humanitarian, or the you know, the tribe, the clan, the people all coming together, groups of friends, and so on. So anyway, you get the idea. And we'll probably speak more to that when we get into the astrology. But let's first of all talk about the five. So I am moving to a different site for numerology, at least on this occasion. There's a site that I like called ridingthebeast.com. Yes, seriously. But anyway, I like the this one because it gives a lot of kind of historical or biblical and symbology. Anyway, the symbology of numbers in different cultures and different places. So the properties of the number five, according to ridingthebeast.com, is the number of the harmony and the balance. It's also the number of the divine grace. And no wonder I was called to look at this, because honestly, the downloads that are coming about this full moon is just like, oh. So number five is a characteristic of the man. First, according to the Kabbal, it's the number of the perfect man. Got rid from his animal side. According to the Bible, it is the symbol of the man god by the five wounds of the Christ on the cross. For this reason, it's also considered as the number of the grace, but it is also associated to the man in general, 2 plus 3, having an unstable character of duality. Two, in spite of his divinity. Three. So the two is the duality in spite of his divinity. Three. So to remind you of all that again, number five is the characteristic of the man. First, according to the Kabbal, like the Kabbalah, I think it means, is the number of the perfect man got rid of from his animal side. And that is the Vitruvian man. If you've ever seen the Vitruvian man by Leonardo da Vinci, we are kind of built in the five. We have two arms, two legs, and the head, five digits. He puts them in a circle. Five is the number of, one of the numbers of Venus. It really is about coming into our humanness again. So anyway, the Bible says it's the symbol of the man god by the five wounds of the Christ on the cross. So and that's why it's considered the number of grace in one of the reasons. But it's also associated to humans in general. So we have this duality, kind of quality of duality. You know, we are half human, half spirit. We're always trying to kind of seek our higher selves, but the divinity is the three. So five is also found on the human body, the five fingers of the hand and feet, the five senses, touch, taste, smell, hearing, and sight, the five members, two arms, two legs, and the head, the torso being the center, the five bones forming the metacarpus, the metatarsus, and the brain bone, etc. So five was also considered the symbol of the universe, as the mediator between God and the universe. It was the symbol of the wills divine. It's the symbol of the perfection in the Mayas. It was the symbol of the incarnated conscience. Four, matter, plus one, spirit, symbolize the force and the limits of the man in his control of the universe. And so there's a lot more to it here, but let me have a little look if there's any more I want to bring out. So according to Tybo of Langres, the number five is attributed to the world for some reasons, because the world is moved following a circular movement, just as the five, when we multiply it by itself or by the other odd numbers, returns periodically. Anyway, I'll post the link in the description. All right. In China, it is the number of the center. Okay. The number of the life and the nature, according to Epley, being the sum or rather the union of the first female number and the first male number. It is the symbol of creative life and erotic love, according to Jung. He also interprets it as the number of revolt. I don't know about that. Anyway, two more. A nuptial number for the Etruscans and Romans, because it's the first number resulting from the addition, the first female number and the first male number. So Agrippa called it the number of marriage. And for H.B. Blavatsky, five is the spirit of life and human love. So there's kind of an awful lot more about it here. This site also goes through all the fives in the Bible and also various other places. But I will tell you that the Rosary of the Virgin Mary has five mysteries too. So, you know, there's a lot here to do with Venus. So Venus is, anyway. So, wow, already, right? It's absolutely stunning. Not just because it's a five. We've had plenty of other fives before, and I've always read them from basic numerology. And for some reason, my intuition today said, go to that site. There's more to this five than we understand. But I do know it is one of these Venus numbers. It's one of the Fibonacci sequence that makes the golden mean that shows up over and over again in the Venus cycle, but also in our humanness and in nature. So the Venus cycle makes the five-pointed star, the pentagram, which I have here. So, oh my goodness, I've said a lot already and we haven't even looked at the astrology. So this is the full moon itself, January the 25th, 2024. It is, as I mentioned, a 5-degree Leo full moon, which means it's opposing the sun in Aquarius at 5 Aquarius. The sun is in orb of the conjunction with Pluto, as they both just moved into Aquarius just 5 days before. Oh, another five. Whoa. Before I look at these two, I will tell you that we also have Hecate, the way shower, the triple moon goddess who shows us the way to find that interconnectedness within ourselves. She is at five Virgo, opposing Saturn in Pisces on the sign of the axis of the practical mysticism. But Saturn is also, of course, the ruler of, the patriarchal ruler, the patriarchal hierarchy, and the father in a way. I'll talk about what I think that means in a minute. Other fives, of course, though, we have this full moon and it is square to Jupiter. And Jupiter is in Venus sign. And this is a real kind. Jupiter is just moved off the degree that he's stationed direct at. Jupiter was the king of the gods, but this is an expansive, big fulfillment point with Jupiter squaring this full moon. And Leo is the sign of the king, really the crown, but it's in the year of or the period of the rise of the solar feminine. And the moon is in the sun sign to kind of emphasize that. As we approach the sun in the sign of the people. And then Jupiter in Taurus is saying change, expand based on this rootedness on the earth. Terra. Taurus is the earth, really, in many ways, in my opinion, but anyway. And then also squaring this full moon and opposing Jupiter widely is Haumea, who is that creation goddess. You know, her story in itself is very chaotic in a way. She gives birth to from every part of her body, and then she ages and then she regenerates, and she gave birth to like Pele and all that kind of chaos of birth. So she is one of those original kind of creatrixes. So we've got that energy of Terra on that day of this festival as well, which is just wow. And then we have these two. I've got to point to these two on this full moon. This is Circe the witch, who you know, woman in total control of herself. Circe the witch and Hecate, they were both kind of you know, magicians in a way, magic alchemists. They could create alchemy, and they could use plant medicine and things for all things. They had that knowledge, that connection with plant medicine and the earth. And then we have Chariclo here. Chariclo, who is Chiron's wife, the space holder, the midwife, the cosmic doula, in at this at 12. 12 is the return, all right. And I have thought for a long time that, and Melanie Reinhart agreed with me, that Chariclo has been leading the way for Pluto into Aquarius. But there's even more reason why Chariclo is important. But I just want to look at a couple more things in this chart. So by the time of this full moon on the 25th, Venus will have left Sagittarius and moved into Capricorn. Mercury will have moved back into Capricorn. He's not quite there today. And he will, in fact, where is Mercury today? Let's have a quick look. Mercury today is right on the galactic center. I should have guessed, but anyway, you get the idea. And so we've got quite a lot in Capricorn, but we have the three most personal planets, as well as Pholus, who Pandora's box, Mercury, Venus, and Mars, all the most personal planets, all in the sign of Capricorn after Pluto has just left the building. I think we are really being asked to build and set intention to create these new structures from the ruins of what we've discovered that doesn't work. Of course, it's a process, but you know, I could talk about that forever. But Saturn rules Capricorn, that all of this is in. And Saturn in Pisces is saying it's time to heal and let go of some of these old beliefs that are limiting your connection with yourself and with the earth. And Saturn is conjunct Hygieia, the seer, the preventative health asteroid, who is at 7 degrees, which was the degree that Saturn turned retrograde at last year. There's so much coming together in so many ways in this full moon. But I want to show you why I think this full moon is even more astounding. And then I just think we'll just talk to the energy of it, really. So this is the full moon that's coming up on January the 25th on the outside, okay? And then on October the 28th, 2023, we had a lunar eclipse that was at 5 degrees Taurus and this and Scorpio. And if you remember, Jupiter is back here at this degree as well, and he was at that 5 degree Taurus mark. It's been a bit of a hot degree. And I think it's really about rootedness, about rooting here down on the earth. It's been activated quite a few times, that five Taurus degree. And it's going to be activated again because the full moon, this is the Leo moon, and the sun opposing each other is almost exactly square to the eclipse degree by just 5 solar arc minutes. That's so precise. All right. So we are really kind of bringing back, or it's more of something that began during the last eclipse season in a lot of ways. And yes, it's lunar eclipses we're looking at here and full moons. So this energy is very lunar. It is about the moon and about coming into that intuitive body, but more to say on that in a minute. One other big thing I noticed, or that leapt out at me because I just remember these degrees so well, is that in the middle here we have the, remember that Cariclo is at 12 degrees Aquarius on this full moon, all right? So she is over here with Circe, all right? But the Cariclo discovery chart, which was the most beautiful, beautiful, even numbered shape of a star on her discovery date of February 15th, 1997, which was actually, that's kind of adjusted because it was actually the February 15th in the UK, and it was actually February 14th here in the US, like Valentine's gift. But anyway, I did a whole interview with Melanie Reinhardt, and you can. I'll link to that in the little links that pop up towards the end of the video if you want to go and see it, or it's under my playlist, Tea with Louise. But look at this. So we have this full moon. The full moon chart is round the outside. So here we have the moon square to Jupiter, opposing the sun, widely square to Haumea, I'm going to say as well. And look at these aspects. Well, this was the discovery degree of Cariclo, the grace spinner, the cosmic midwife, the cosmic doula, who to my mind is weaving or helping us to weave and spin a new story collectively. She's been doing this for quite some time since she was discovered in 97. We fairly recently, in cosmic terms, had her opposition where she opposed her discovery degree. So she's been at kind of a point of saying, all right, so what have we learned? What have we kind of done since that point? All right. And then the moon is on Cariclo, and the sun is conjunct Jupiter, conjunct Uranus, conjunct Ceres, really conjunct Mercury too. We also have Cariclo and Circe, the woman in total control of herself, sitting on Venus. This is really kind of, we are like being pulled into this energy of creation and change, but I'll talk more about in what way in a minute. Jupiter is on Juno, where Juno was in the discovery chart of Cariclo. I might get the discovery chart up just to show you separately in a minute so you can get some idea of what's going on. And Juno was in the myth, which, you know, these myths were stories told by humans trying to make sense of everything. But Juno was the queen of the gods. She has this crown of spirit on the cross of matter. Juno was really the queen of the heavens in many ways, but she has that cross of matter bringing her down to earth as well. So she was Zeus's wife. So these two are together. Jupiter was Zeus, Jupiter and his wife Hera or Juno together, if we put these two charts together in Taurus, earth, rootedness again. Other things that astound me when I look at this is that Haumea, the creatrix, is conjunct Chiron. Chiron was a bit of an outsider in the Chariclo discovery chart because, I've added a lot more bodies since then. But if we look at only the bodies that most people use these days, before the goddess asteroids and things, Chiron came in 1977 to help us to come to terms with our humanity, in my opinion. Because Chiron was half man, half horse. He was, half animal, half human, very connected to the medicine, also a medicine man and a healer, but wiser and a teacher. And the Chi he's brought come in to bring in that sense of give up this longing to find answers out there and know that your answers are within. And down here on Earth, terra firma. Anyway, enough kind of ranting. I could go on forever with these things. There's so many other connections in this chart, but one other one that I find very worth mentioning is that the North Node in when the Leo full moon is on January the 25th is conjunct Eris in Chariclo's chart. Eris, the one who stirs the pot, the shit stirrer, so to speak, is kind of stirring it up, saying, change, 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 change. I'm just trying to see if there's any more. There's oh, lots I could talk about, but let me just stop the share and just tell you what I feel like it means overall. Well, it is. Everything is a process of growth and transformation, but I really believe if you did watch my 2024 webinar, it's available for download on my website. But one of the things I did talk about was that I really think that it's in my way of working. This year really is the year we step more fully into the age of Aquarius. I know I've talked about it before. There's a lot of disagreement about when the age of Aquarius starts or started or when we're in it. I think it phases in and out. I think it's highly possible that we started entering the age of Aquarius when Uranus was discovered. And Uranus was, I should remember it, but 1781. And then after that, the next planetary body to be discovered was Ceres on January the 1st, 1801. And since then, we've had all these new energies discovered. The whole asteroid belt, the centaurs, the other planets, we've now got a dwarf planet kind of category because humans are trying to make sense of this and they don't know how to make sense of it. However, I will say that all these new discoveries are meant to expand our consciousness, our worldview, our understanding of how the mind of the great universal spirit, Gus, works, because that's what this the whole cosmos with us here is to me from our perspective. That doesn't mean Earth's any more special, but this is how we experience it, all right? So although I think it is pretty special, to be quite honest. So, I could go on and talk about all the different kind of energies and really kind of look at all the aspects, but I want to kind of give you the real kind of bigger picture. All right. So let's look at Leo a little bit. So, Leo in astrology is the sun sign. All right. So you can think about it. Leo is magnanimous, generous, caring, warm, active, open, associated with the lion. And, but it's also the sign of royalty and the sign of rulers. Okay. And benevolent rulers and also less benevolent rulers. And Leo is also very courageous and confident and very comfortable being the center of attention. And I think we are really kind of coming out of the age of this the oligarch, if you like. I suppose the shadow of Leo could be the oligarch or the royalty or the king and queen, the divine right of kings. Who thought of that, really? Why do kings have divine rights? Did maybe man made that up for a reason? But anyway, that's my opinion. But also, we are moving to Aquarius, which is the opposite sign from Leo. Now, as I mentioned, we have a Leo full moon every year, but they're always at different degrees, and they're always making other aspects, and they're not also always while we are under a Leo Venus star. The new Venus Leo star began last August the 13th. Venus happened to station retrograde on the feast day of the Magdalene on July the 22nd last year. And then we had a 20 degree Leo star point on this first full Venus retrograde in Leo since the first Leo star on in 1987. But also since that time of the first Leo star, fixed star Regulus, which is the royal star, has moved from Leo into Virgo from our perspective. And Virgo is the sign of wholeness and the priestess, and it's a deeply feminine sign. We are moving into a more aligned and more loving, a more connected age, whether it sometimes feels like it or not. We are not done yet with kind of the fall of the oligarchs and those who think they are better than everybody else. I'm afraid Leo can think it's a little bit better than everybody else. Leo is kind of got the energy of narcissism too. And we've seen a lot more talk of narcissism, a lot more talk of what narcissistic behaviors within people, and so on and so forth. So, this full moon is a step in the process. I think it's a very big one, though, because of those connections that I pointed out. Now, to go back to the connection with the eclipse on the October the 28th, 2023, I will say that at that point, Venus was still in Virgo. Venus was still kind of just gaining height as this Leo morning star. But at that time, she was accompanied by all her handmaidens. And Venus, in many ways, is Persephone being reborn. So the story of Venus, Persephone, and Ceres, if you like, or Persephone and Ceres, is one of coming into wholeness and realizing that the divine is within, in our humanness. There's a lot more I have to say on that, but I want to save some of it for my book. Now, the full moon in the lunar eclipse on October the 28th was not long after Venus had risen as morning star, and it had this heavy, heavy energy in Taurus and Scorpio about letting go, release of power, those power dynamics, or attachment to these old power dynamics. Okay, Pluto ruled Scorpio. Was Pluto was just at that point still in Capricorn. All right, so leaders are kind of being taken down. All our leaders really are pretty disappointing. We vote for the best ones, but I do see a shift. I do see a shift in our well, A, there's the ones grabbing the power. We've got still got those, but underneath that, we have these kind of people who get it, who get the people, who understand it, and they are rising up underneath. But anyway, that's kind of political. We don't need to go there. So there's that connection with that eclipse. But I think this connection with the Chariclo discovery chart is even more important. So I'm just going to quickly share that for you. I just got it up in my software. So look at this. This is the beautiful star of the Chariclo discovery chart. She was discovered on February the 15th or 14th, depending where you are. We had this huge Aquarius stellium in her discovery chart. She was really, but she was at the opposite point. She was at six Leo, opposing all of this energy in which we had Mercury, Venus, Jupiter, Uranus, Ceres, and Vesta, in addition to the Aquarius Sun at that time. That's a massive, massive stellium. Additionally, we had Neptune at the end of Capricorn, where Pluto has been hovering for some time, saying, release, release, let go. This is ending. These old structures are ending. But of course, there's that resistance too. Anyway. Also in the Chariclo discovery chart, we had the nodes in Pisces and Virgo. And 29 degrees Pisces, 29 degrees Virgo, about to go back further into Pisces and Virgo. And after we have these node, the current nodal journey in Aries, North Node, and South Node, Virgo, they will be moving back into Pisces and Virgo. And the North Node will be on Pisces. So Chariclo will then be having her reverse nodal return. Okay. Wow. Okay, so how many years ago is that? I should know because it's my daughter's age. 26 years right now. So we've got a lot more coming up when that happens. But also, let's have a look at some other things. Hecate was in Virgo back then as well, as she is now. She is kind of the connector. She is the one that holds that lamp up and shows us which direction we're going in. And not all of these were used in most of the charts. But one outstanding thing that is always outstanding about this discovery chart, all right, and I've just noticed something else. But anyway, if we just look at this star, okay, it's all in fire and air signs, which are traditionally the masculine signs, the yang signs. But, you know, it's also bringing in a lot of change as well. And it's action for change. So, you know, the just because it's masculine signs is not bad. But I do think it's, you know, she was the harbinger of bring back the goddess, if you like. Okay, so in many, many ways. Now, a couple of other things I just noticed, or in fact, I am going to just draw a line. Honestly, I get new things from just talking about these things. At this time, Juno and Chiron were opposing each other in the signs of Scorpio and Taurus about healing this kind of attachment to power, power games, manipulation, power over people, letting go of that and moving towards this more earth-based understanding of our connection, bringing the spirit, Juno, down to earth in Taurus. Those two were actually, if we want to extend this star, I think this makes a tree of life. Oh my goodness. Another one. I'd had a spotted a tree of life before. So I can't live without my main asteroids and my main centaurs now. This is a tree of life pattern. It contains the two triangles that make the Saint David's Star by the or Star of David, by the way. It also, of course, contains this mystic rectangle. It also contains a finger of fate or God pointing at Juno. Wow. And that is from Pluto at 5 degrees and Mars at 5 degrees, conjunct Haumea. And she is the divine feminine. And Pluto and Mars are saying, we have to integrate this energy. They are the two rulers of Scorpio, actually, modern and traditional. Wow, there's just so much I could say. I'm not going to go on and on and on. I'm going to look at these charts more, but I wanted to get this full moon video out for you. I think, coming just 5 days after Pluto and the Sun move into the sign of Aquarius, big harbinger of change. I think we are really moving into a time that's more balanced, more egalitarian. We see the rise of the strong, divine feminine who it just totally ignore what the patriarchal structures are doing in terms of like Taylor Swift, Beyoncé, the Barbie movie. And all these attempts to keep it down are now instantly witnessed and seen, just like at the Golden Globes, where the Barbie movie was reduced to a movie about a plastic doll with big boobies. Of course, it was about way more than that. And so Taylor Swift, who's doing who reclaimed her own music, is re-recording it. Because she couldn't buy the rights to her own music that, yes, she signed the contract for, but I think she actually signed it when she was 15 or 16. So, we're allowed to grow, aren't we, and change. But anyway, this is not about women taking over from men. This is more about, accepting what it is to be in this physical body on this earth. Whether you identify as a male or female, but of coming more into that earthly humanness and bringing it into center to go back to this amazing chart, to bring all these things into this center. Look how all these lines intertwine and come in to that center here on Earth. So, but it's a kind of shall we say, more kind of shallow kind of energy as well, with the moon being in the sign of Leo and the sun, which is our core key self, being in the sign of Aquarius at the opposite point to where Carrick-Lowe was discovered. This is kind of stepping into this more ideological, humanitarian, egalitarian kind of energy, saying it's time to let go of thinking that we rule and dominate and we have to think of the common good. Anyway, amazing, amazing, amazing full moon. And I almost forgot the symbols. So first of all, I'm going to talk to you quickly about the Leo 6 Sabian symbol, which is an old-fashioned woman and an up-to-date girl. It was also, in fact, yeah, I like Rudyard's one, was a conservative old-fashioned lady is confronted by a hippie girl. Now, Aquarius, in his own ways, is a hippie in many ways. If you think of when the Hair came out with the Age of Aquarius song, that was the age of the hippies. They were kind of sensing something there, I think. Leo, in many ways, could be said to be the conservative, old-fashioned way of doing things. And we are kind of being confronted by the hippie, about the changing social values. This James Burgess says that the Sabian symbol is about the impermanence of values. and what is thought important, moral, or even courteous changes from one generation to the next, and even more from one age to the next. All right, it's not acceptable to define, control, etc., women anymore, or anybody else that's other. In fact, I could take that out to people of color. Racism is just no longer acceptable. Yes, they might be fighting back against it, and it's uncomfortable at the moment with what's going on, but I have a feeling that's not going to last much longer. So to go to John Sandbach's Omega and Chandra symbols for Leo 6, he says the Omega symbol is order from chaos. All right, so remember what I talked about. Oh no, this is the whole phase. Okay, the whole phase is making order from chaos, and that makes sense as it's the phase. But he says the Omega symbol for this is hidden photos of a deceased woman are discovered. So he said this is about the death of death, rejuvenation, and eternal youth. The past is continually revealing new things about itself as we grow in consciousness and change our perspective on it. You have the ability to shed new light on old truths and to express taken for granted information in such a manner that it becomes alive in a new way to people. You help others to see how the past has shaped their personality and how it can be renewed and reshaped. I'll copy this into the show notes too. The Chandra symbol, though, for this degree is a hamster running in a treadmill. So here we find sheer impulsiveness and a compelling need to exert oneself. There's little thought about the future or even the significance of its actions, but rather an unquestioning compliance with what its instincts are wanting to do. The simplicity of this can be refreshing and can help to stir others to action. I am what I am, and I do what I do is the attitude. And this tends to be expressed in a healthy, direct way, even within limited or restricted situations or when thwarted. This individual is unflagging and keeps busy. However, he says sometimes there is also a tendency to go over and over the same territory, but rather than this causing frustration, it often results in seeing things in a new way. For such repetition can lead to a deep comprehension and an assimilation of what's being reviewed. In this way, the Chandra symbol connects to the new photographs of the woman in the Omega symbol, where new revelations come to light concerning something that one presumed as past and finished. And I will tell you why this resonates for me in a big way. We are moving into this new age. We're making order from the chaos slowly. But talking about new revelations coming to light concerning something that we presumed had passed and finished, and the hamster wheel going over and over, I've long said that this Aquarius energy is bringing the old, ancient, like some of it, I, in my opinion, and what's coming through for the book I'm writing, ancient wisdom that we had forgotten, that is pre-written history, pre our rational mind, pre-verbal, and it's being brought in very new ways. But you might have to wait for my book for that. Or, you know, if you subscribe to my Substack, you might get the shitty first draft as well, because it's coming. All right, mwah. I love you. I'll put my Substack in, I'll put the symbols in, I'll put the link to that numerology site in the description. But please don't forget to subscribe to my channel, give me a thumbs up and all those things. We are changing. We are becoming more fully human, and we are realizing that there's nothing out there. No savior, no avatars. We are the avatar. The divine is within. This has been the core message of many spiritual teachers forever. But the astrology, or the Gus, the great universal spirit, is telling us. So much love. Leave me a thumbs up. Leave me a comment. Love you.